Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Di. No, it's it's good. We need that. We really need that type of thing, you know. Like I know when Dave has had a couple of words for me, every time it comes in, really helps, you know. If you've got a word for somebody, it's a great thing to give it. I can't even open my notes, but I remember years ago I had a word for somebody, but I was too scared to give it, and I always feel bad about that now. And I felt that God was annoyed that I didn't give that word to that person. But anyway, it's a great thing to be a Christian. It's a great thing to be able to bring the word and to preach. And I thank you for giving me that opportunity. There's nothing better than to come into the house of God and share with people, to have a bigger purpose in life, to have something that we share with each other and that we all have. And the best thing is that for us, there is light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it ends well for us. I remember watching a show a little while ago, and there was a girl in the show, and she said, "Well, what's the point of living? What's the point of life? We know that it ends badly. It ends badly. We die. So what's the point of living? What is the point of living?" And I often wonder how people, as they get older, how they deal with that. It must be harder as you come to that stage to think about that, because it doesn't end well. Unless you have faith, you don't see the light. You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But for us, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We have a destination. We have something good to look at, something good to look forward to. And the journey that we go on to get there is a great journey. God has got us on a journey. And that's a journey of freedom, a journey of freedom. John 8:31 says, "Then Jesus said to those who believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" And so God's word will make us free. We're on a journey of freedom, and we have to realize that we have that freedom. We have to use that freedom and make the most of that freedom. And so today, basically what I'm going to speak to you about is journey of freedom. Journey of freedom, okay? So my first point is this, is the journey. So basically the promised land, I want to start with the promised land. God promised the promised land to Abraham and his descendants, or to Abraham's descendants, right? And so what he did, when he started out with Abraham, he gave him a destination. That was the first thing he did. He gave him something to aim for, something to set his eyes on. And that was important. It wasn't physically received by God's people till approximately 500, 600, 700 years later. That's how long it took for that journey from the time that God promised it to Abraham's descendants. It took that long before his people actually walked in and received that land. And so the thing is that God uses that journey. God needed that journey. God had to establish that journey inside his people. If he had a journey, why didn't he just say, "Abraham, here's that land, take him straight there and give it to him. Clear the people out." God could have done that, and God could have established his people there straight away. But you see, there had to be a building. There had to be a building that took place. God basically needed to establish himself as leader of his people. He had to establish himself in that position, and so because he had a bigger purpose, he had a much bigger purpose for their future. They had to have something. They had to have something which they could look to. There had to be a strengthening within them. And you know, the same is with us in our journey. And even when we're moving backward, even when we're not going in the right direction, there's a building taking place within us. It's important. That building is something. And we need to recognize that. As long as we come back onto the path, as long as we come back with God and get our eyes fixed back on Him, it all strengthens you. It all matters. It's all part of that process, however bad that may be. And, you know, a major part of that journey that the Israelites are on was that, you know, we can't make that journey shorter. The journey is just, it's just part of our life. It's part of our building. Sometimes we want to cut it shorter. We want to just straight away get to somewhere that we're looking at. But it doesn't seem to happen that way. We have to travel through that thing. You know, I can remember I had a job. I had a job that I hated. I absolutely hated, and I couldn't stand going there anymore. But God didn't change it straight away. It took time. It took time. But now when I look over, something was built there. Something was strengthened there. And that's something that I can now use. And so unfortunately, we have to travel down that journey. And God uses that journey. That journey is important. What we know is we can make that journey longer. There's certain checkpoints along your journey. God wants to take you to certain places. He wants to establish certain things in your life. And we know that from the Israelites, when they were in the desert, they made their journey 40 years longer. I mean, those people, they made the journey for the Israelites as a people 40 years longer than what it had to be. And the reason they made it longer is because they lacked faith. They lacked trust. They weren't able to keep their eyes on the road. They weren't able just to keep going, keep pushing forward and keep trusting in God. And so they made the journey longer. They made that journey longer. They were on a journey of freedom. They had freedom. When God blessed them, when God gave them the promised land, that was a promise. That was a promise. And so they were on a journey of freedom in that sense. The law, it had nothing to do with the law, that particular thing. The promised land was theirs, right? And so we want to be careful not to get caught in side roads. Don't get caught in little side roads that don't matter. They don't matter. Just keep going forward. Whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is, keep your eyes on Jesus and just keep going forward. And you will reach the destination. The destination is yours. You just have to trust Him. I remember Scott. I think I've once talked about him before, but he was basically the assistant pastor in the church that I was born again in. And he was the son of the pastor. He was also the youth leader. But he was just a very... he was an awesome, he was just very inspiring man. And I can remember he once said to me, he said, Tom, there are five levels of faith. And he said it in such a way that I still really don't know exactly what he meant by that. I realized that there are so many more layers to God. The time you spend with God is never wasted. If you want to spend a whole day with God, you have not wasted that day. That will, time spent with God is never wasted. Okay. Yeah, it's a bit like that. Yeah. Blowing all over the joint again. I always bring so many notes. I'd like to be able to not bring any notes, but I haven't got to that level yet. I need more practice. So there's so many layers to God, and you never know everything. You never reach a point where you know everything there is to know about God. You've got to keep learning. You've got to keep going over the same old stuff as well. You've got to keep going over it. You've got to keep pushing into God. You'll never know it all. And you can get to a point in God where you might have been saved for 20 years, and all of a sudden there's a whole massive journey still ahead. There is something huge still ahead. The more you push in, the more you see that God has every answer, that God holds everything within Him. And so, you know, God is interested in our growth. Our growth is very important. It's not so much about what we can do. Like often we think that I've got to do this for God. I've got to do this huge thing for God. Otherwise nobody else will do it. See, quite often, God could replace you and just get somebody else to do that. Quite often that's the case. But see, God wants to build something in you. And that's what we need to realize. Your journey is about you and what God is doing in you. He wants you to do it because he's called you to do it. And through doing that, he's going to build you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to make you the person he wants you to be. Because he is designing you to spend eternity with him in heaven. And so we need to realize that. We need to realize that. We need to attack. If there's something that God wants us to do, we need to just keep going forward and do that. And in doing so, we'll grow, we'll build, and we will strengthen. My second point I want to make is this, is the power of the promised land. Genesis 15:18 says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, or with Abram at that time, saying, to your descendants I've given the land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Now the important thing in that is that God said, I have given. God said, I have given you that land. He didn't say, I will give. He didn't say, there's rules. If you do what I say, if you do the right thing, then you will get that land. He said, I have given you that land. That land was theirs. And so basically all they had to do was trust and have faith in God, and they would reach that destination. They would reach that promised land. And in so many ways, that can be likened to our journey. Our journey is like that. We receive Jesus. And then that's only the beginning. That's just the beginning of something that is much bigger. That is much, you know, we've got this massive journey ahead of us. And it starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. And our destination, basically, is heaven. Heaven is our destination. Heaven is what we need to look at. It's what we need to aim for. If we're going to be really able to achieve what God wants us to achieve. See, there's a purpose in heaven. There's a purpose in believing in heaven. It's our focus. I know I used to think, well, heaven doesn't matter. Heaven doesn't matter because all I've got to do is what I do now, and then that will take care of itself. But the truth is that heaven drives you. Heaven gives you strength. Heaven makes you get your thoughts correct. It gives you the strength to travel along the road that you need to continue traveling along. You know, basically heaven is in the Bible 694 times. Heaven is mentioned in the Bible. And so it's a reality. We need to see it as a reality. Eternity is a reality. It's not a joke. It's not something to be played with. It's not just an idea. But heaven is a real place. A real place that God has planned for us. From 1 Corinthians 15:51 it says this. It says, listen very carefully. I tell you a mystery, a secret truth decreed by God and previously hidden, but now revealed. We will not all sleep in death, but we will be completely changed, wondrously transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead who believed in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we will be completely changed, wondrously transformed. Now, bet your life on it. Bet your life on it. Know that that's the truth, and that will happen. Heaven is a reality. And then from 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labour, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. And so the vision of heaven empowers you to put more in. to put more in to what God has for you. To put everything else aside and to put God first place in your life. To be driven by your faith. You know, I was interested, I was reading Matthew 20:20 a few nights ago, and it said this, it said, the mother of Zebedee's sons asked Jesus if one can sit on the right and one in the left. And Jesus replies, do you not know what you ask? Are you able to drink of the cup I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we are able. And as I was sitting there, I thought, I'm not able. I've got enough going on. I don't particularly want to drink of that cup. I'm happy just to be one of the people in heaven, Lord. You know, I don't want to be on the right or the left. But it amazes me that they actually said, we are able. But I think that when we do actually get to heaven, when we do get to that reality of heaven, that real place that exists, that is, that we're all going to, if we keep on the right path, we'll look back, and if we read that scripture, we'd say, yeah, I wish I had have. I wish I had have given more. I wish I had have done more. I wish I had have fired myself up more for God. I really do. I really think we would. And we'd do whatever it takes. We'd go without. We would bleed if we had that much faith to know what that meant, what eternity on the right or the left-hand side of Jesus would actually be. You'd do it, right? And so heaven's important. Heaven is important. Eternity is important. You know, what are you prepared to give up for eternity? You receive 1,000 times more than it when you get there. My third point is this. How do we travel our journey? So God told Abraham that he had given the land to his descendants. And in doing so, by saying he had given it to him, he attached freedom to the journey. There were no strings attached. It was theirs. The land was theirs. All they had to do was have trust in him, have faith that land was theirs. And in the same way, God has already given us heaven and attached freedom to our journey. Heaven is ours. Heaven is a part of who we are. You know, the reason we can cast the devil away, the reason that we have the power of the Spirit within us, the reason is because Jesus is within us. His Spirit is within us. But also heaven is within us. We have heaven. We are part of heaven. Ephesians 2:6 says, and he raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him in heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. So the point is that we need to live like we're in the promised land. You need to live right now like you're in the promised land. Like, so often we get worried. We get worried about things. Things in our life. I remember once driving along and all of a sudden, it was late at night actually, and one of my kids had croup and they couldn't breathe. And so we've thrown Maddie into the car and we're driving along and Maddie's choking in the back of the car. And the hospital's still 15 minutes away. And all of a sudden, you feel like you need to reach for God. You need to reach out for him. In that moment of worry, in that moment, you're distressed and you can't seem to find him. Like you could find him when you weren't worried, when you weren't concerned. But all of a sudden, he's not there and you're trying to push in. You're trying to find him in that. But see, the truth is that you don't need to reach. You don't need to reach for God's blessing. God is with you. His presence is with you. There's no reaching needed. And so often, when things worry us about our lives and we can get concerned about our future, where are we going to be? How big is our superannuations? What's going to happen with our kids? All these sort of things that we worry about and get concerned about. We need to live like we're in the promised land. We have the blessings of God all around us. They're everywhere. They're all around us, and he's there with that. You know, and once again, it's so important to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I remember when I was doing my motorbike course that they said that wherever you look, you will go. So if you're riding a motorbike and the idea is to look where you want to go, and you'll just automatically go there. It actually works. It's really interesting. But the same is with our spiritual life. If you take your eyes off the road, if you put your eyes onto something else, it'll sidetrack you. It'll take you there. And so to travel our journey, to travel the journey you need to travel, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't get caught up by the worry. Don't get caught up by the issues, the problems. They'll only sidetrack you. But what you find is you keep pushing forward. Forward is the only way to go. As you keep pushing forward, don't worry about them. Give them to God. You'll find that they'll work out and they'll sort out. And all that worry was not necessary. God's got you on a journey. Just keep going. Just keep going forward. Don't go backward. Don't go sideways. Just keep going forward. So balancing our freedom with direction. All right, so we've got freedom. We've got freedom. But what's that actually mean? What's that freedom actually mean? Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature." Right? So we're on a journey of freedom, but we've got to use that freedom. It's up to us how we use that freedom. See, often we think we're saved by faith. We're saved by faith, not righteousness. It doesn't matter what we do. So we can just do whatever we want. It doesn't matter what we do. That doesn't matter. But see, God, you know, so often we see living for God as something that's going to take our fun away from life. We think that, you know that they're rules. All of a sudden we've got these rules and regulations we need to live by. That sucks. I don't like that. I just want to be normal. I just want to live a normal life and be like everybody else. But you see, the truth is that God's word is not rules. It's just wisdom. It's just wisdom. It's just a better way to live. And by living in his spirit, by living in his word and the things that he asks us to do, that our loving Father asks us to do, you're going to make your life better. You will make your life better. You will get more out of life. You see, the things of the flesh are bondage. They're bondage. And they'll only lead to bondage. They'll only lead there. They'll lead you more in there. And when you choose freedom, when you choose the things of the Spirit, they set you free. They give you freedom in life. When you choose to love instead of hate, it gives you freedom. When you choose patience to wait, you get freedom. Goodness, kindness, gentleness, all these things bring freedom. Whereas drunkenness, all those other things of the flesh, hating, getting angry at people, you know, just any of those sort of things, holding on to things, they enslave you. They enslave you. God's word is freedom. God's word will make your life better. If you follow it, it will make your life better. And so basically to walk in freedom is to walk in the Spirit. God's given you the Spirit. He says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity to go back to jail. Don't go back to jail. You can take yourself back to jail. Don't do that. Take yourself to freedom. Walk in freedom. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll get to the promised land. You'll get to heaven. And the blessings of heaven are with you now. Who wants to live a better life? I know I do. And I know that every time I choose God and I choose the things of God, my life is better. It's made better. Even at work that happens with me. I mean, I work with great people, fleshly people, but you think that you've got to be like them and you'll be more accepted. But you know what? When you live who you are in God, when you live in the Spirit, things actually get better at work. They get better everywhere. I mean, sure, you want to be wise. You don't want to go into work and just be silly about your stuff. You've got to be wise. Wisdom is important. Wisdom is something we need to have with us. You know, there was a guy last night after I finished work. A guy, I love this guy. He's just a great guy, and I know God's got something for him. And he's had a few issues, and he always just wants to talk, and I just feel to listen. I just listen. And I try not to talk too much, and he likes it, and he just wants to keep going. But he's had been through some really bad stuff. So I come out, and I was just about to say, you know, look, I go to church and speak about God. It was there, and sometimes that's hard for me to do. But it was just like God said, no. God stopped me from doing it. So you can say, well, look, but no, we have to do that, so I'm just going to do it. But no. Wisdom. Trust God. Be led by God. God's got something coming. And then last night he spoke again, and I wanted to speak, and I'm waiting. God, give me something. Give me something. Nothing came. So I just trust God. I'll trust God. I'll be led by God. And so as we trust God, we keep our eyes focused on him. That's what we need to do. Basically, finally, I just want to speak about complacency. You know, I believe that as people, every one of us has this nature in us to become complacent. It just happens to us all. We get caught up in the things of the world. And it's hard. It's hard to keep our eyes focused on what's important, on what's true. And the worst thing about its complacency is, I know from experience, if you let it go, like you think, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But if you let it go, it just keeps going worse. It keeps getting worse. You take your eyes off the ball. And it's almost like you need to kickstart yourself to get started up again. And so, sure, you need to rest. You need to rest. That's right. But it's very important that we don't let ourselves fall too far. And often we need to do things in our life. We need to get involved. We need to, you know, almost have disciplines. Not disciplines as in religious disciplines, but we just need to try and keep ourselves on the ball. Keep yourself on the ball. Keep yourself in the game. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep trying to put God first and strengthening. You know, I've just finished a book, and I'm a slow reader, so it takes me a long time to read a book. But, you know, sometimes books can be just so powerful. God can use them for you. And so I finished the book about Arthur Stace, and I completely found it amazing. It was just incredible. Arthur Stace was the guy who wrote Eternity on all the streets throughout Sydney. That was his ministry. But what got me about him, what I found so amazing about Arthur Stace was, so for the first 30, 35, whatever years, it might have been 40, he was totally a down and out, completely drunkard, just in jail all the time, just completely lived a terrible life, awful life. And then from the moment he got saved, he was just completely changed. He was completely changed. But he gave everything to God. Arthur Stace gave everything to God. Like on the Sundays he would spend his whole day at church, but then Sunday night he would go and he'd minister to the homeless. He'd go to the homeless and he'd help them. And through his week, when he was working, in his lunch break, he'd go and sit out on the sidewalks there in Castle Ray Street and he'd take a big suitcase to work. And he'd walk out and he'd open up the suitcase, and the suitcase would have a scripture on it. And he'd just sit there and eat his lunch. That's what he did for his lunch break. Everything in his life, he just gave to God completely and utterly. On Saturday nights, he would stand up on Bathurst Street and preach, and street preach to people as they walked by. Arthur Stace, I think, died in, might have been 1956 or around that time. So this was a while ago. Things are a little bit different there. But the amazing thing was that Arthur Stace never gave up. He was fired up. He kept himself. He kept Jesus at number one in his life. And, you know, in the same way, you know, I know it's a vision of this church that we try and help the homeless, that we try and come up with ways to help people that are in need. And there are a lot of people in need in this area. And as a church, we can help them. We can reach them. As we trust God, we can reach those people. Now, that's a great vision. That's a great thing to do, to help the needy. I could think of nothing better than a Wednesday night to be able to have the barbecue outside and to invite people along, and we give them a feed and just speak with them and talk with them and be with them and you know, or take it to them, whatever. But those sort of things are possible as we trust God to help the needy, to help those who need God. All right, well, so basically I might just finish in prayer. Lord, I just pray for this church, Lord God. Father, I just pray that you'd help us not to be complacent, Lord God, that you'd keep us strong, Lord Jesus, in you, Lord, that you'd help us to keep our eyes focused on the promised land, Lord God, focused on heaven, that you'd help us to know what's most important, to help us to know what matters most, Lord. Everything else comes second. We just need to focus on you, Lord, and keep moving forward in truth. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us as a church to be able to do great things for you, Lord God, to reach those in need, to reach the homeless, to reach the lost, to reach those that are without, to reach those people, Lord God. Help us to be a church to reach those people, Lord God, for you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Tom. Love your preaching, buddy. Love it.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.